What time is it?
2:03.
2:03. 2:04. We don't have to do roll call, right? Or should we, for the record?
No. Okay. You're fine.
Great. All right.
Well, actually, no, we should, because for the executive committee, we're just loading the recordings online. We're not doing minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So we should do a quick, want me to do that?
Sure.
Katrina Holland.
Yeah, here.
Christian Bryant.
Here.
Ian Davey.
Here.
Okay, great.
Sweet. So any additions to the agenda at all? Looks like meeting management and upcoming agendas are the only things. Approval? Do you want to approve?
I move that we approve this wonderful agenda.
I second that. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? No. Okay. Matt?
Sure. So today's agenda is really a pretty open agenda. So I just wanted to make sure that the executive committee had some time and some space to kind of debrief from the last meeting, since it was the agenda was pretty full. And then just get a chance to kind of talk through how we want to approach the next few meetings and structure the next few agendas so that staff has direction on how to best prepare for that.
Okay.
So and then we can talk about it in order. We can just kind of have an open conversation. I defer to you all. But I thought that from what I heard from each of you, just talking about how we manage the meetings in the meeting, as well as looking forward at the updated work plan as adopted, at least for the next couple of meetings, looking at screen criteria policies and security deposit policies, to get a sense of where you all wanted staff to go.
Okay.
One of the things that I know I wanted to just address, I don't think we need to do anything official, as far as meeting management goes, is, I mean, I know this is it's plain and simple. There's no subject that's going to come across our committee's table that, at least at this current time, and in what looks like 2018, that everyone at the table is going to be like, yep, we all agree this is what needs to happen. You know, we all have our reasons that, you know, we're coming from different angles of it. But I know just in my experience of dealing with different city committees and stuff, or serving on them, I was either one of the members or I was the chair. And so as co-chairs, I wanted to address with you, and I figured it could have been just a conversation, but since there's only three of us here, mm-hmm. we have to do it during the meeting, is understanding that neither one of us are going to agree. Odds are we're probably not going to 100% change each other's minds, but also the only reason this committee exists is because the mayor said, let's make this exist, and it's a good idea, and I think we all agree it's a good idea to have this commission. But with that said, if we don't make sure that everyone at least keeps moving down the direction and we are, get some stuff done, then the mayor can also choose to say, well, let's just get rid of that.
Get rid of the commission?
Yeah, because that's the only reason. It's created by the mayor and technically it's under him. If you wanted to, he could. So, I mean, last meeting, I think, was perfectly fine. So it's probably something that probably has solved itself, it seems like. But I know, like, the first meeting, there were a couple times I think both of us interrupted each other when we were talking, and I would like to at least just have kind of an established, okay, we're not going to completely agree, but at the very least, you get your time to talk, I get my time to talk, and, you know, we have that mutual respect so that it trickles down to the commission members to be like, everyone's opinion here is very important. If you want to open your mouth and talk, by all means, you're able to do that, obviously, with certain order. If we have a lot of people that want to talk. So that was one thing I wanted to bring up. It came out of that first meeting. Like I said, I think the second meeting, things were pretty fine. But also with that said, you were very sick. So, you know, there may have been times that we didn't. So that's the one main thing I wanted to throw out there. Get your opinion on it. See, I don't think we need to do anything official. It's just a matter of at least having that conversation and put it out there.
I love the idea of the way Ian, you ran the speakers list.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's something we should probably continue.
Like, that should definitely continue, but as chairs, mm-hmm. it's not necessarily always the case. you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are times as a chair, especially if it's mostly due to time constraints, typically you don't have too many, you know, outbursts or whatever, where you may have to interrupt a member for the good of the meeting itself, you know. But I think as co-chairs, we should have, at the very least, that, you know.
A criteria.
Mutual respect of, if you've got something to say, I'm going to shut up, let you say it, and vice versa.
Ah, okay.
So it doesn't come across as we're just playing a control game type of a thing or anything outside of let's focus on these issues and keep moving forward and make sure that everyone's heard.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Perfect.
Do we have permission to change or make proposals for the structure of the meeting itself?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. As the executive committee?
You can structure the agenda however you want.
Okay.
You can structure votes however you want.
So, I have to agree with some of the comments that came out of public testimony. I think having it at the end doesn't serve us very well.
Okay.
So how do you guys feel about moving it either to the middle or to the beginning of the meeting? I mean, the downside to that is, you know, a lot of people want to participate. They have to work. Oh, hi, Cupid. They have to work for, you know, till 5 o'clock or whatever, or late in the afternoon. So putting it at the beginning of the meeting could create additional barriers, and I have very real concerns about that. At the same time, at the end of the meeting, it feels like conversations end up going much longer, and then we start getting into public testimony time, and people feel disrespected. I don't want that to happen. So.
I mean, it kind of depends. I mean, from meeting to meeting, whether we'll have, you know, three parts of it or not. But let's say we have three parts: the beginning, middle, and end. I would say maybe if we do move it to the middle. Just so that way the topics can be introduced mm-hmm. as well, because that also might change some people's public testimony,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
But other than that,
this is a slightly different topic. My biggest concern with the last meeting was how rushed we felt, and mm-hmm. I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where we can or want to have a six-hour conversation about housing policy.
Yeah.
I would want that.
But
I'm a housing nerd. David,
right.
I don't have kids. Anyway, but I do think that we need space for people to not feel rushed
mm-hmm.
and for people to maybe not fully vet or air their concerns on an issue, but to at least have their voice heard. And so that goes for the public and for commission members.
Right.
So I'll just pause there and say I agree about pulling up the public comment because I think it addresses that concern about the public feeling like they're heard,
mm-hmm.
and I think it helps inform us as a group.
It does. I mean, the conversation changed drastically after public testimony, so I think we should make room and space for that.
And of course, we just need to make sure we manage, you know, time allotment. Just because if we do move it, say, to the middle, then it might, Brian, thinking back of previous meetings, it was basically topic introduction, discussion, commission members. We voted on some things, and then we went to public testimony. So
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming we would essentially be talking about topic introduction, maybe commission members discuss, then public testimony, then voting on things. I'm just trying to picture it.
Yeah.
You know, which I think that's fine as long as we also don't want to be rushed when we're officially voting on stuff because there might be a discussion period there, and that's when, you know, so we would just need to make sure if we do public testimony beforehand, we do manage it to say, okay, we've got an hour, whether that's three people or 25 people, unfortunately, that's the time we have. So I just want to make sure we don't stick with public testimony and then end up not having time to vote on stuff that we need to.
So what if we create a protocol for this listening session? Because I think that it's critical for us to, I mean, I hear Margo's point about making sure that folks, members of the public, have an opportunity to speak and in an accessible way. I feel really uncomfortable with saying this is just the hour that we have, and we're just going to leave it at that. So what if instead, if we have testimony beyond the hour that's allotted for that meeting, that automatically triggers the commission to say we're going to have a listening session?
on the stuff.
I was going to ask, did we, at the last meeting, did we, I know we voted to extend the meetings by half an hour,
yeah.
Right? Did we vote on, do we, I can't remember what happened as far as Margot's proposal of having the guaranteed monthly listening session.
No, not yet.
But I think that would actually be a good, you know, and I think it would probably try to be our best attempt at making everyone happy on that. In that if there is enough testimony, then Margot definitely, you know, and not just her, I shouldn't single her out, you know, that want to see that listening period, that extra meeting, would say, okay, great. That means if there is enough, then we will for sure have it. But if there's not enough, we don't have to have it. Which I think would make people with the opposite opinion happy. So I'd be all for that.
Are there any administrative constraints against that?
It just depends on how soon you want to have it.
Scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
And scheduling. I think that's the big thing, is these two rooms can get filled up pretty fast,
mm-hmm.
and scheduling off-site options can get full fairly
mm-hmm.
quickly and have different costs associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do that.
Is there anything against having like a second meeting just tentatively scheduled every month, and then if we don't need it, you pull it off the books, and might be somewhat cheating and unfair to others using these rooms, but might work.
Just for the calendar, we can put a hold.
I just wouldn't want there to be like a huge topic that we've got, I don't know, 30 people that want to talk, and
yeah.
then it ends up being, you know, the next meeting we're voting on this, and it ends up being, well, because of scheduling we can't find a room, now we can't.
We could put a hold. I think we would want to be able to cancel that
yeah.
within 2 or 3 weeks notice for if this room needs to be scheduled for something, but we can do that. Could be on a Tuesday, though. So we're at a point now where we have an advisory body meeting every Tuesday afternoon, or almost every Tuesday afternoon.
Here?
Yeah. You laughing at me between us?
Sorry.
Yeah, we have a lot of advisory
wow,
bodies right now.
Okay.
So almost weekly we'll be having
official
advisory commission meeting. But we can make it happen. We just probably need to be on a different day,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I think the only challenge is we'd have to have, you know, it may not, and if we don't have quorum, right? So if 7 RSC members don't show up, it can still be a listening session, but it's not an official meeting of the commission since we don't have quorum, and the body can't deliberate or make any recommendations or decisions.
I think it would be our intention to do that anyway, right?
I think it would.
To make actually vote on stuff?
Yeah.
At the listening sessions?
Yeah.
Well, then it's not
either
a listening session. We're
either at the listening
meetings.
Session, but at least have the ability to talk about it.
Oh, talking we can do with or without a quorum. He's talking, you just can't, without the quorum, you can't make a vote and take an official action. You can still discuss all you want.
I don't know. I feel like there was pretty general consensus about the entire, if possible, the entire commission being present for those listening sessions. So mandating that at least quorum is present so that there's an official notice guaranteed, so that things could be voted on, so that people could discuss, and it wouldn't feel placative. I feel like this is an opportunity for the city of Portland to kind of break from that mold of being.
I mean, I don't have anything against whether we do or don't have a quorum there. I'm saying, yeah, I mean, great. If we have a quorum there, great. If we don't, we can still have the meeting, and if 3 of us show up, at the very least, you know, the public that showed up didn't waste their time, too.
I think the only other caveat I would add,
with it being not a regular meeting, I think it's also going to be hit and miss on how many RSC members there, and if we don't have, give every member as much opportunity to be at the meeting as possible, it's a little unfair, no matter who it is, that misses out if we say, okay, at these listening meetings, we're also going to have agenda items that we vote on. Extra step is a little, I mean, I'd rather keep official items to the regular scheduled meetings so we know for sure we can have as many members as possible.
So my comment is not on that. It's a choice for the executive committee. My comment is that if you're going to be, so we have to notice we need to notice what the agenda items are. So it couldn't be that somebody testifies on something unexpected.
I see.
And then there happens to be a quorum there and the body decides to discuss it and then take a vote.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't notice that topic was going to be up for discussion and possible
right.
recommendation. So if we are providing the notice to the public that says this listening session is on security deposits, and then somebody makes a really good point about something else, then it moves into an area where we didn't provide proper notice that the body was taking a position on this other thing to the public. And you just have to be careful to walk that line. That'd be the only flag. But you don't need to worry about that. We'll catch those if those come, but that's just a flag. There may be some things you really can't take a position on because we haven't provided notice to the public.
If we wanted to go with Katrina's, the base of her recommendation of saying, if we have more public testimony than can fit in the time allotted during the regular meeting, it automatically triggers a listening session later. Is that something we would have to officially vote on right now? Or is that something we can just say, hey, Matt, that's what we want to do?
You can just say you want to do it.
I mean, I don't have any objection to that baseline, just to make sure it's open.
Yeah, I think that some basic ingredients should be present. I think if there are more people that want to testify beyond the time allotment, then it's a guaranteed rule. Perhaps we can make, do we have to propose to the Bylaws and Rules Committee to make it a rule?
You could direct them to put it into
okay.
the rules.
Okay, so a direction. I'm going to make this a motion, so it's official. That if there are members of the public who want to testify and the number of people exceeds the time allotment, there is a mandated, the RSC is then mandated to convene again for an official listening session, ideally with quorum present.
Can't mandate quorum. Can't mandate attendance.
Okay, mandate quorum.
No, you can't mandate.
Oh, you can't mandate quorum.
We can't force anybody to attend.
Okay. So do not mandate quorum. But ideally on a different day, different times, so it's more accessible, and ideally a different location, so that folks who may want to be able to come in the evening or can't trek from East Portland all the way here can find a more central location. And that would be 2 hours?
I don't think we should mandate it now. I mean, I'm up for an hour if we've got three people, and if we need to make it happen, if there's a big topic and there's 30 people, then maybe it's going to be three or four. I don't know that you want to put those parameters on us right now. I honestly mean, this just coming from my experience chairing other committees, there's nothing political to it. Like, the more flexibility we can leave for ourselves in the rules at this point, the better, just because we can do just about anything we want as far as meetings go, times, scheduling it, creating subcommittees, all of that stuff. But the more rules we put on ourselves now, the less flexibility we have down the road. So, I mean, personally, I would not want to say every one of those meetings has to be 2 hours. I'd rather be able to just say, well, we have enough for one, or we have enough for four, whatever.
I would agree if everybody was on the same page. I mean, it's pretty clear that there's some very real political dynamics occurring in this space. There are people on blatantly opposing sides, and we'll try to. I think my intention of having sort of a parameter is so that there's a mutual understanding that no matter what happens, whether or not we agree, whether or not we can drum up the votes or whatever, this is going to happen for the sake of the public, for the sake
yeah,
of...
Yeah, which I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Which if you want to put maybe a time parameter on it, maybe we do it on a... We'll guarantee at the listening session every person of the... I hesitate to even say this, but every person of the public has it 5 minutes.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Then that way, you know, if you're worried about somehow saying, well, we have 30 people, but half of us don't want to deal with this topic, so it's only going to be an hour, and therefore everyone gets 1 minute or 2 minutes or whatever. I think a workaround, so we still have the flexibility, and also so that's not mandated that we sit in the seats for 2 hours, even though there's only half an hour of people talking,
right,
is maybe we make the mandate in the less listening sessions, everyone's going to have at least X minutes, or something like that, maybe.
What should that time limit be?
Per person? Mm-hmm. Or the time limit within a meeting?
Per person.
I would just recommend that everyone get an opportunity to testify. And you don't specify the number of minutes.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, okay.
I'm on for that, but...
I just don't want to run into a situation where we have a bunch of people who are like, I really don't want to talk about this topic, and I don't think we should have a listening session on it, so I'm going to obstruct the ability for us to do that, so we're only going to have two people show up, and we're going to say that the meeting's from 6 to 8, and that's it, you know? I don't want to run into that situation.
I mean, you'll never be able to control which commissioners choose to attend
of course.
The listening session.
Yeah.
So I did want to raise a few things. I think, Katrina, you mentioned this, that, and we heard this in public comment last time, that later meetings would be helpful to facilitate people who work and have kids. Off-site meetings also. I have a bit of a concern that we can't mandate quorum, but I have some concern that the listening sessions could be feel less important to the commission, and I keep coming back to the importance of everyone, as many people as possible on the commission, hearing that public comment. Especially, I mean, I think last time sort of bore that out. And then a more technical item is, how much time are we going to allow for public comment in our regular meeting? I think that informs some of the others.
Which is part of the reason why I'm saying I think we should be able to vote.
You can recommend that to the mayor that people are removed from the commission.
Yeah, but...
I just said, we've done that before. I've knocked on some other bodies where somebody didn't show up for a year. And, you know, staff.
So maybe there's a rule that...
I wouldn't make it. There's enough flexibility for the executive committee in the code that you can just make a recommendation to the mayor and say so-and-so has not attended a meeting in the last year. Can you please replace them on the commission?
That's still subjective to his decision-making. I'm wondering if there's a way to make sure that, you know, folks prioritize hearing public testimony. So, you know, maybe as a part of an agreement to be a part of the commission, as you have to attend at least X number of sitting sessions, or I don't know.
I guess my sense is that we don't want to put restrictions on... We don't want to, you know, if there flexibility exists, we don't want to have so many restrictions. There's a general understanding that you go to the meetings. But I think what we need to be careful about is putting too many meetings in a given month so that people get
tired
or just don't have the time to do that. So that's why I'm always nervous about, you know, having two standing meetings and triggering another meeting. So that was just why I wrote that. It sounds workable if we have time reserved and then... You know, it gets triggered, you have that meeting, but I just wouldn't want it to be the expectation that every month there are two meetings. Or, if that is the case, then we just plainly state that. And people work that into their schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's too early.
Too early to call. Yeah. Well, I made a motion.
I was going to say, we have a little bit of a motion. What I've got so far is to direct the Bylaws and Rules Committee to include in the bylaws if the number of individuals who wish to testify at a particular meeting exceed the time allotted, it triggers a listening session. And then it didn't sound like there was consensus around a time allocation for the meeting or a time allocation for testimony yet.
I might be wrong, but I believe all of us at least agree on that motion.
Yeah, so second.
Second, perfect. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Thank you.
Sorry.
For the recording.
Yeah. So for this timeline, though, how long? 3 minutes? Four minutes?
I think we can decide how many minutes a speaker gets in a pretty reasonable way based on the amount of time and how many speakers have signed up. So if it just depends how much we allot. So if we allot an hour, and there are 20 speakers, 3 minutes each works, maybe 2.5, given people shuffle around. But so I don't know if we need to put an individual, I guess we just need to be clear about what's reasonable. Like a minute probably isn't reasonable. It's too short for someone to say what they want to say. 5 minutes is, it's a long time to talk. I mean,
people seem to be, I have witnessed in city council that 2 or 3 minutes people get frustrated, so maybe 4.
Because it's too short.
Yeah, because it's too short.
I would encourage you all to retain that flexibility as co-chairs and vice chair on a meeting by meeting basis, whether or not you want to increase or shorten the time.
Like I said, I think you...
It's your decision.
Yeah,
that's what I would encourage. There's been instances where some of our advisory bodies end up engaging with somebody testifying for maybe 15 minutes on a very particular topic. They need additional information. And there's been some where there have been so many people signed up to testify that they've needed to shorten testimony to 2.5 minutes or 2 minutes. But if you specify an amount of time in bylaws and rules, you'll be locked into that.
Yeah.
So, again, it's your decision.
So how would we determine that, though? Because if quorum isn't present at these listening sessions...
Then it's your call.
Then you can do anything you want. You don't even need a vote, because there's no... not official.
It'll be a staff decision.
Well, let's start with how much... So our regularly scheduled meetings are now 2.5 hours.
Correct.
And how much time for public comment did we have last time?
30 minutes last time.
Yeah. Okay. So my sense from the last meeting was that the time crunch came around group discussion, not so much public testimony.
Mm-hmm.
30 minutes isn't a very long time, but anyway, so I'll open that up for discussion now. But how much time do we want to set?
4.
In a regularly scheduled meeting for public testimony. We've already established we're gonna have it in the middle. How long is that middle time? I will propose 45 minutes.
That's what I was thinking, 30 or 45.
I mean, since the crunch last time wasn't on the public testimony side,
so
we could keep it at 30 and extend it as necessary, because we have that flexibility. Right,
so
Matt, we have flexibility.
We added 30 minutes to the meeting, so we could say we increase that to 45, that's 15 of those minutes, the other 15 is just so that we just have extra time to talk.
Yeah, okay. Are you making a motion?
That can swing direction to say.
Oh, okay.
Because we'll draft the agendas.
Okay.
So when you say middle, what does that mean?
That's the next thing we're
putting it on paper
about.
For an agenda. So maybe it'll be helpful if we talk about the next meeting agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the commission voted to change the work plan from any that proposed to take up first screening criteria, policy considerations, or screening criteria is an issue, and then any possible policy considerations. And then security deposits.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, staff is preparing the agenda for the January meeting so that we can post that. But folks have also talked about wanting to discuss budget, and there are a bunch of other kind of topics thrown around,
mm-hmm.
right? So even though the commission has what I would say arguably is a 2 to 3 month work plan, first looking at security deposit or screening criteria and then security deposits, you as the executive committee have some flexibility on the agenda as well. So do you want to discuss budget and screening criteria and security deposits at the January meeting? Do you want to do just screening criteria?
I think to make the most of just of everybody's time and discussion, one topic per meeting makes the most sense.
And we have talked with Commissioner Udaly's office, and they are willing to be at the meeting and kind of share for the screening criteria. They don't have a framework yet, but they're willing to share kind of, I guess, the premise of their approach to the policy issue and what they've learned from some of their stakeholder meetings. And then some of the staff here are preparing some comparative analysis and what exists around the country.
Uh-huh.
As a lead-in to a potential discussion, but we don't at this point have a plan for where the discussion goes from there. We wanted to engage with you all, knowing that Commissioner Daly's office will share kind of what they've been doing, and we will share what exists elsewhere in the country. What do you all want from the meeting as the product of that discussion? And if the consensus of the executive committee that we're just focusing on one issue, which would just be screening criteria, how is the meeting structured for this public testimony occurring somewhere in the middle on the agenda?
Jamie, can you give us a bit more about what you expect your office to be able to present?
It's a very good question, because I've spent the last couple of days having a variety of conversations with folks about, because I obviously brought back to the commissioner what the this commission voted on last time, and we've had several discussions with the mayor's office and folks. So at this point in time, Commissioner Bailey is willing to spend one meeting introducing the security deposit policy as it is currently written, or as we will, a final draft that we will prepare for this meeting in particular. And then also to introduce the topic of screening criteria as far as we've accomplished so far, which is not very much. It is our desire that a subcommittee be formed from this commission that joins our stakeholder group on screening criteria, because the main concern for my commissioner is that any tenant protection policy work that this commission focuses on distracts from the formation of the Office of Renter Services. And she's very committed to that office being up and running and robust because, to be very honest, the lack of data, the lack of landlord registration, the lack of the office in general, prevents us from other really thoroughly thought out and well-informed policy making in this area. And so we are trying to be careful that our policy making isn't becoming a diversion for this commission, and we would like that work to happen simultaneously. We recognize that this is a very critical issue right now, and that this commission has some really good expertise at the table, and it's really important that we hear those and make sure that's part of our policy making. But at this point in time, it feels like there's two priorities competing, and so we would like to kind of split that work and have it done simultaneously so that there's a win-win happening. So, I don't know if I confuse everyone, but what that means is that for January, we're willing to come with a final draft of our security deposit policy so that everyone has a chance to look at it and provide feedback. And also to do a presentation on screening criteria and have it be a robust conversation, and then ask this commission to create a subcommittee of however many members want to be a part of it to join our stakeholder work. They would be then, I assume, a feedback loop to the larger body and would do report backs for all of your meetings, but that would also then free up your further meetings, February, March, April, to also do the business of budgeting and data analysis and all that kind of stuff. That's the kind of middle compromise that she was willing to come to. And I know a variety of you have a different understanding because of our conversation. I wasn't able to catch everyone up to my last conversation with the commission.
What's your sense of how long the, so I'm assuming it would go security deposit, final draft presentation, and then work to date on screening criteria in terms of?
It doesn't matter to me whatever order you want to put on the agenda.
What, how long would you expect for each?
I think 3 months.
Oh no, I mean,
January.
You mean
March.
For the one meeting she's talking about?
Yeah, at the meeting, just for the presentation.
Well, that really depends on how deeply the commission wants to get into it. I kind of envisioned it being the whole meeting for both of those topics.
An
hour each?
I guess thinking about it, the way I would envision it is security deposit, final draft presentation, screening criteria presentation, public testimony, discussion.
Work session.
Oh, you mean presentation, not like discussion in between. That makes sense.
We're talking about one meeting or multiple meetings right now?
I'm talking about one meeting.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to work in one meeting, realistically. I mean,
That's why I asked that.
Yeah, that's going to be really... I think it would make sense to do security deposit, presentation, 1 hour, and then spend 30 minutes hearing public testimony at that meeting. And then at the next meeting, because it's so fresh, we would do the discussion following the work plan.
The body voted to take up screening criteria first.
Oh, okay. So it would be screening criteria. So we would have screening criteria, that's a 1 hour presentation, 30 minutes for public testimony,
And then we have an hour and a half for discussion, right? And then we have a work session following that, in which case we would get a report back from the subcommittee. We get a report back from that subcommittee, have additional discussion, and then at the following meeting, I imagine that screening criteria is going to have a listening session. So I think maybe the listening session and the subcommittees happen in between here and here. And then at the end, or in the third month or whatever, then we would vote on screening criteria.
That makes sense. What I'm hearing from the commissioner's office, though, is kind of a one and done with the broader commission, and then there are just report backs from a subcommittee. So
that is her desire at this time. And I would suggest that if a subcommittee is formed here and becomes part of our stakeholder group, that stakeholder group becomes a public meeting that we would then notice. And the more I think about it, the more I think that's a good idea, because we could also be holding public testimony and listening sessions separately, but you know, the RSC wouldn't have to hold separately on screening criteria. It would help alleviate some of the workload of the RSC and move it towards our stakeholder group while you're doing other work. Does that make sense? Because I agree with you. I anticipate there will be a lot of public interest in this topic, and I think we are also interested. Our particular equity stakeholder group that we would invite you to participate in would also be well served by listening to the public as well. So
I think that can definitely happen between the screening criteria presentation and a work session, because at that point, Commissioner Daly is not beholden to the Renter Services Commission, right?
I mean,
she can technically bring policy when she wants to bring policy.
Correct.
So I think if it means that she's bringing policy before the work session, then that's what happens. Or if that happens before, you know, the Renter Services Commission actually votes on a recommendation for the mayor's office, then that's what happens, right? There's a degree of flexibility that I think you guys have. I just don't see it happening in one meeting. They're huge topics, security deposits and screening criteria. Public testimony alone I can almost guarantee it's going to require a listening session, and there's tons of back and forth that I can see on the tenant advocate side, on the landlord advocates. I just don't.
Did we vote on, because the schedule we voted on had specific topics for specific meetings.
That's what I was trying to find.
So do we even have a choice here? Is it screening criteria and security deposit, or was it just screening criteria in this upcoming meeting? Because they were assigned two meetings.
I want to double check the motion.
Right. I don't think we actually have an option. We're either talking about one or
both. I thought it was screening criteria first and then security, because I thought
what I was going to say was, I don't think the motion was to adopt any of the proposed work plans, which had a set number of meetings per topic.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
It was just simply to take up screening criteria and security deposits as the one and two items on the work plan.
So I think the original proposed schedule.
Correct.
We weren't doing multiple topics per meeting unless it happened to be like we're doing the intro of this one and we're doing the final third voting meeting of this topic. That was the only time they really intersected, wasn't
it? I know what I'd say is, given that, and Debbie's just checking for me, but if the motion ended up just being, okay, we're not adopting any of the work plan options, we just start deciding to take up screening criteria first and security deposit second, then I would say you have discretion on how you structure that. And I believe that's the case. Whether you want to do it in one meeting or two meetings or three, I think that's up to your discretion. Because no specific work plan was adopted, you wouldn't be preempting the full commission.
The first one, option one, was adopted. Is that what you're... Option one on the proposed work plan was... There wasn't a motion to.
No, that the it so there was a motion later.
Oh,
the one to, I see.
That was superseded.
Yes.
to modify the work plan.
In motion three, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just broadly take on screening criteria and security deposits, and it was in the context of Commissioner Udaly's intention to bring legislation.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Because it was too long.
Yeah.
In the interest of time, if you don't mind, because I recognize that those meetings will be full if we do both in one. It is possible, and I can certainly make a recommendation to the commissioner, that we divide each topic into one meeting. So we have one meeting with you on screening criteria, and then we have one meeting with you on security deposit, however you want to schedule that, so we can separate them and you can get 2.5 hours on each of those issues. She may be willing to do that. I can't guarantee him. She's, I just want to emphasize that, particularly for security deposits, there's a sense that we have done a tremendous amount of work on that. We've had a lot of stakeholder hours. There is the majority of the RSC has been involved in the stakeholder process for security deposits, either through our original stakeholder group or through the ReloTag group. And so we also feel like we don't want to insult the work that has been done for a long period of time and kind of do it all over again, right? That's, I think, what we're trying to avoid, and we're really kind of pretty solid with where we're at with security deposits. So I think the commissioner is trying to avoid that whole kind of rehashing and bringing all back up and delaying it further. With security deposits, I feel like we could certainly use a lot more input. Did I get them mixed up? I'm talking about security deposits specifically.
So how about this? What if we do a screening criteria, 1 hour presentation, 30 minutes public testimony, and then 1.5 hours for discussion. In between that is the subcommittee and the listening session. There's then a work session just on screening criteria that has a report back from the subcommittees and includes discussion.
Sorry.
At the following meeting,
there's
a vote.
Is the work session the February meeting, or is this the third meeting?
I think it would be February.
Okay.
Yeah. And then in March, we vote on screening criteria recommendations for the mayor's office. In the meantime, Commissioner Udaly has already formulated her policy. Ideally, if there is a policy at that time, it would be brought in March. And then there's one meeting for a security deposit presentation following that vote. And instead of doing a work session in between, we just go straight to voting on security deposits at the next meeting. So that would be divided over two meetings.
So
that's
there's a
five.
Presumption built into that that the commission is going to wait to move forward on security deposits till June?
No, till it would be, I think, April, March or April.
Yeah.
Wasn't it January, February, March for screening criteria, and then April, May, you said
March,
June.
March and April.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So security deposits and the vote on security deposits for a recommendation from the mayor's office would happen in April and May.
I don't anticipate, assuming, so our office has made a commitment that screening criteria and security deposits are going to go at the same time. So it is possible that screening criteria could take us 3 months, it could take us 6 months. Right?
I don't think you
guys. We don't want to rush it
by that time. Yeah,
right? I don't think you'll we don't want to rush it. We want to make sure it's good. But we also don't want to limit ourselves by how few, how little this body meets. And so I would say that I cannot anticipate that the commissioner would be willing to say we're willing to put it off to any particular long period of time. She wants to remain flexible and move on it when it's ready to go. So if I do anticipate it would probably take at least three months for screening criteria to be a really solid policy. I expect probably more like 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
But we plan to move fairly quickly, as in having kind of regular stakeholder groups, I'm hoping twice a month. With our group to really push that as fast as possible. So I guess I'm trying to support my commissioner's desire not to get tied into your timeline and have you guys be adapted to our timeline.
It
as
sounds
far as
like
the policy development goes. And so June is a very long commitment to make.
So it sounds like this works then, because in screening criteria, the recommendation is from January to March, and then April and May for security deposits. And in the meantime,
the subgroup is meeting between now and May. So it'd be ready.
And the idea is that when the report backs happen, I imagine in February and March, your agenda also includes other Office of Render Services issues, right? That the whole meeting isn't about working on the screening criteria policy. It's a report back scenario, feedback to the subcommittee that then comes back to our stakeholder group and works on the policy there. And then at some point there will be a more formalized, finalized, written policy that you guys can review, but our goal is to free up your time and to move our policy as quickly as possible.
I don't see that happening.
So you put this together. I mean, it sounds workable. Christian, do you have thoughts on?
Yeah, I think that's workable.
Okay.
I don't have anything against it. It's
If at the next meeting we create a subcommittee, you want to talk about size and composition?
Yeah.
Okay. So how big is your stakeholder group?
So before we do that, just can I confirm the work plan then? So January is introduction to screening criteria. Which Commissioner Udaly's office will kind of talk about what they've done on screening criteria to date. And then there's a listening session sometime between the January meeting and the February meeting. In February, there's a work session on screening criteria.
Well, the subcommittee is formed in January, too.
And the subcommittee is formed.
Right, and they're meeting with Commissioner Udaly's office, right?
Who, the subcommittee?
Yeah.
The subcommittee would be joining our stakeholder group.
Okay.
And do you have public comment on that January meeting on the 17th?
Public comment.
Okay, so introduction, presentation, public comment, general discussion.
General discussion.
And then a secondary work session.
February is a work session with screen criteria. And then March, the expectation is to take a vote on some sort of position or thoughts or recommendations on screening criteria from the group, which will either come in the form of a
policy draft.
Well, it could be a majority-minority.
It would probably be a majority-minority report, right, or multiple recommendations that people are willing to sign on to. That's what I would recommend, is that to allow the group to be able to share their perspectives. We may have two or three recommendations that different members sign on to.
Don't we have to do it that way? Wasn't that part of the directive from the mayor's office in creating this, is that there would be majority-minority reports?
They would like to hear.
I don't think we have the option to say, this is the majority, so this is the only thing that
I don't think there was a specific mandate. I know that there isn't an expectation for consensus, right?
There is not a mandate in the code, but I think that the mayor's office would like to hear that, okay, eight of the people agreed with this recommendation. Two of the people have this recommendation, and the other folks have this recommendation, whatever. The
three kind people of like a consent dissent.
Yeah. So then March would be that process to get to a recommendation or sets of recommendations that individual commissioners attach their name to. And then in April would be security deposit and intro, with Commissioner Udaly's office coming to present their security deposit legislation with a work session and vote in May. Is that what I'm hearing around the table?
Or would you want to move the security deposit presentation before or in the February meeting and then move the screening criteria work session and vote to March and April?
So if the RSC really wants to get a look at the security deposit policy, then I would suggest it come in February. Again, I think we want to be able to move as soon as we feel screening criteria is at a good place and not wait until April.
Screening criteria or security deposit?
Screening criteria, right? So we're bringing
both.
Security deposit is almost in its final form and it's kind of on hold.
Right.
We're developing screening criteria, and as soon as we feel like it's ready to go, we want to move both at the same time.
Okay.
As a package deal. So, again, I just want to maintain that flexibility for my commissioner and not commit to waiting till April to present to this group if we're ready to go before that. So why don't we just...
I like that because of Nick's concerns in the last meeting about hearing one and not the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. So screening criteria presentation is in January.
Security deposits is in February. Work session on screening criteria and maybe even security deposits if it happens to go hand in hand. I don't imagine that would happen realistically, not with these folks at the table. Would happen in March, and then a vote for a recommendation would happen on screening criteria, maybe security deposits both. If that doesn't happen, then the 5th would be, or in May, it would be one or the other, security deposits or screening criteria, whichever happens first. Does that work?
It works. I just think we should, keep flexible.
Yeah.
March and April will likely need to be work sessions, and then...
Oh, March and April,
yeah.
You think? Okay.
Those are big topics.
They are huge.
But we could be so productive in March that we don't need another one.
What do you think?
I think that is some wonderful wishful thinking.
No, I don't think it's like that. I'm saying
it might just be a belated Christmas miracle if it happens. No, I'm fine with that schedule.
Okay.
I think that's fine. I mean, quite frankly, as far as time goes and everything like that, like I said, I will almost always defer back to the more flexibility we can give ourselves, the better, and that's going to help.
That's
all
also hamstring.
Well, I mean,
it sounds like
the mayor's office, or not the mayor's office, sorry.
Commissioner
Udaly's, Jamie. Let me just refer to you. It's your name, right? You're sitting right here. I mean, I think Jamie was also kind of alluding to it. I mean, that having some flexibility is a good thing, especially with this stuff, because we don't know whether with the stakeholders and what goes on with the city commission meetings and all that stuff, they may be ready 2 months from now to say, you know what, let's push this through, let's debate it. We've got room on the agendas, let's get going. And something between in the next 3 months might come up that, quite frankly, could push it back to November or something. I mean, there's, and when it comes to this, especially local politics and stuff, like I said, I'm always going to err on the side of the more flexibility we can give ourselves, the better.
So do I hear...
I'm fine with that. Oops. I'm fine with that schedule if that's what you guys want to do.
Do I hear a motion to approve this schedule with flexibility to move it around?
We don't need to. Do we need a motion? I don't think in the executive meetings we really need too many motions. It's mostly just...
I mean,
we'll,
it's official.
We'll just
That's
present
fine.
This back to the full commission to say that based on direction, this is the schedule.
Yeah.
But I just want to confirm I've got it correct. So
okay.
January is an interim screening criteria, and then there was a subcommittee appointed, and a listening session scheduled
mm-hmm.
between the January and February meetings. The February is a security deposit intro.
Mm-hmm.
March and April are for work sessions and votes around screening criteria and security deposits. We'll maintain the flexibility to figure that out as we get closer,
mm-hmm.
and we'll hold May without a topic for any carryover in terms of a need for an additional meeting.
We should probably schedule a listening session after February, just to hold the time.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense, too.
A listening session between February and March?
Mm-hmm.
Right, on security deposits.
Yeah, I agree.
I would imagine that a listening session for that topic will probably be needed. But again, I'll go back to what I was saying. We currently have
hold
a
time
motion.
For it.
Exactly. We currently have an official directive to the bylaws committee to say, hey, if we don't have enough time for public testimony, then that automatically triggers a listening session. So maybe we don't officially schedule one right now, and we just stay with what we voted on. And if there is enough public testimony, great, we've got it. If there isn't, we don't have a meeting on the books that doesn't need to be there.
So I think we should have a recommendation on the size of the the subcommittee.
Yeah, we got a few minutes.
Can I ask for clarity really quick?
Yeah.
Sorry. Did you just say that your March and April meeting are going to be completely dedicated to screening criteria and security deposits?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Work sessions.
Actually,
that's
we said between now and
yes.
April? Or no,
May.
I don't think when in between now and May, that those two topics are the only things we're talking about. That's what's been said so far.
I think that'll help move that policy relatively quickly.
So if we're going to stay any more than a couple minutes, the longer we're going to need to probably move.
I have to get going as I got a 3 o'clock.
The Human Rights Commission is going to have to get set up.
I'm fine with that tentative schedule. Hope, and if it works, great. If not, we'll have 3 more meetings, or maybe there's a Christmas miracle in West, then great. I'm fine with it.
All right, 2 things. One, where do you want public testimony on the agenda? You talked about the January agenda being
the
presentation from Commissioner Udalia's office, a presentation from staff, and then discussion of the commission. But where does public testimony fit in there?
I would say right after the presentation before further discussion.
Okay. And then the only other thing is budget. There was a request to discuss budget at the January meeting from one of the commissioners.
For fiscal year 18-19 or 19?
Fiscal year 18-19. More detail on fiscal year 17-18 budget, but then a chance to make recommendations for the fiscal year 18-19 budget.
How much of a real conversation are we able to have on budget before having the data and possible rental unit registration conversation?
Yeah, it sounds like that would
everyone
have to wait
probably
until
has a different
June.
Perspective.
Because wouldn't, I mean, in theory, assuming we all say yes, we want to collect data, and yes, we want some sort of registration, and that goes through, I would imagine there's going to be money tied to that in one way or another, and that's going to completely change our budget, which then maybe we then have to have a whole repeated thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, what say do we have on budget, or what?
I mean,
RSC office officially
council,
hasn't been created, right? So
no,
technically,
office,
it's
the office exists.
Like
it's not a standalone office.
Right.
We have contracts for services, for education and outreach, for legal aid, for some pilot programs, for helping to staff the body and do policy work. So it exists. It's not a standalone office. It's functioning more like a program area in the Housing Bureau. And there could be additional allocations of funds to services in the next fiscal year that come from the general fund.
Is there, as far as you can, from what you know about the budget for the office that we make recommendations over or whatever, do you see currently that there's really much flexibility in that budget? Because if there's not, then it seems to me that we probably shouldn't talk about it much because there's nothing we can really make a recommendation to change anything if there's not much. Because sometimes with these budgets, it's like, okay, yes, this office gets $1 million, but as part of the recommendation for $1 million to be here, $250,000 goes here, period. $300,000 goes here, and then all of a sudden, oversight committees like this, at most, we're talking about what do we do with this $25,000 left
over. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Declaration.
No, I was going to say, as somebody who has been a part of the budget processes, there's really not much say that you
right,
unless,
exactly.
Unless
that's
you're...
been my experience, too, is that on these oversight committees.
I mean, you don't have decision-making power, but you could say, you could, as a body, take a position that says, we should not fund these services, or there is an intense service need for this kind of service, which is not being funded by the city, and it should be prioritized either amongst existing funding or with new funding. Like, that is completely within your prerogative as an advisory body. The decision will ultimately rest with the Bureau Director and the Housing Commissioner on reallocation of existing funds or the commitment of new funds, requesting new funds for new services. But that is your role to advise on the budget.
So it sounds like, if I remember the meeting correctly, the concern isn't so much the budget itself, but what programs are currently being funded and what services exist.
I don't know why. I can't speculate as to why. It's just there has been a request that from at least one member of the commission that they get to, there's a discussion about budget. Specifically, a better understanding of the current services that are allocated in about $2 million, between $1 and $2 million, depending on how you slice the budget. And potential asks for new services next fiscal year. So I can't speak to why people want it. I just wanted to flag that. And I imagine if it's not on the January
conversation, I just don't know how permanent it is right now.
Well, based off of my experience as full disclosure as a contractor in this current office, whenever a proposal for a new service has been highlighted as a need, the Bureau is very responsive in making sure to find the money for it, to build the infrastructure for it, and to fund it with a bump.
And even in some cases with general allocations, if it's available, they bring it to council, they, if necessary, or they allocate based off of whatever threshold is given within staff. So I think bringing it as an agenda item in June for services, desired services, and recommended budget allocations would be.
I could see that.
Well, that won't
because
happen.
That would happen in the fall bump, right?
Well, no, I mean, it could happen in the budget too. So, I mean, the Bureau has to turn in our request budget to the city budget office and the mayor's office at the end of this month, the end of January. And then the mayor will release a budget in March or April.
Uh-huh.
And from there, city council offices will work with the mayor's office and they'll finalize what the budget looks like.
So I think.
And so, but in the budget, it's not just an allocation of funds, right? So if there's an interest in getting feedback into any new services that start at the beginning of the fiscal year, July 1st, that feedback would need to come in the late winter or early spring. If the request is for a one-time allocation in a bump,
mm-hmm.
that could happen over the summer.
So maybe
a budget adjustment process.
So maybe we just leave some flexibility in these work sessions.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then we won't put it on the January.
This is also a chance we could get surprised with one of those, you know, one of those topics, which I don't know where the topics, but we get surprised the topic doesn't take as much and it's not
yeah.
as divisive as we think. It's like, hey, let's slide this in here since we've got some time now
yeah.
or something.
So then what we'll do as staff is we won't put it on the January agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by virtue of that, there won't be an opportunity for the full commission to weigh in before the Bureau submits its request budget,
uh-huh.
but you will have an opportunity if you're trying to work it into one of the February-March meetings to weigh in on what the Bureau request budget is, both the current service level and any new requests, and give that direction, give that recommendation directly to the mayor's office as the mayor's
uh-huh.
office is working to craft their recommended budget.
But to be responsive to this member, though, I think that Bureau's I would like the executive committee to have Bureau staff furnish that information to that.
We can send the current budget out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
To that.
Definitely.
Just so we're responsive.
Yep.
So anything else? I think
I'm
we're
supposed
good,
to
right?
be at home for
do we need to do anything official to call it to an end, like a regular meeting?
Can I say one more thing
yeah.
before you adjourn?
You're so polite.
I just want to make sure that someone knows I need to say something for this.
Sorry.
Our recommendation that you form a formal subcommittee was an effort to move the work off of your plate and to free up your next few months. If you are determined that your work plan for the next 4 months is going to be fully dedicated to these issues, there's no need for you to create a formal subcommittee and then create a separate public process. We were anticipating that a formal subcommittee would join our stakeholder group. It would become part of the public process, just like the RSC, and move some of that work off your plate. If you want to continue to have that, to discuss in full for the whole time, instead of having a subcommittee charged with making those decisions on your behalf and reporting them back, then an alternative, I can just individually invite everyone on the RSC to show up, and as long as not more than 7 members come to our stakeholder group at a time, we're not having a public meeting, and then you can make it less formal. Because if you're going to talk about it,
how large
well,
is the stakeholder group?
Regardless, off the top of my head, I can't remember. It is about our screening criteria policy is a different one than our stakeholder group or other one. I think there was about 10 members or so. We've only had one official meeting. We have a pretty large. You're on the security deposit.
Oh.
We had a only one meeting. It was a really large invite group, and I think about 10 people came. It's very equity focused. We want to expand that, and it would be super helpful to have some landlord perspectives now that we have that first meeting under our belt to kind of decide what the challenges are.
Yeah.
So I don't want to create a public process for myself if it's not going to actually make it, you know, if it's not going to actually free up your time to work on the Office of Rental Services. So I'd like to unburden myself with that.
Well, I think that I don't imagine the RSC members, just based off of witnessing and engaging with, I don't imagine that the RSC, I feel like they'll protest in saying
why wouldn't the RSC have a recommendation? So I think the hope is to, given that this is a priority for Commissioner Udaly and she wants to move it relatively quickly, instead of the timeline being 6 to 9 months, it's now 4.
Well, see, that's what a subcommittee does, right? They're charged to act on behalf of the group to say, this is what the meeting was, these were our recommendations, and bring back the recommendations to you and say, based on all these discussions, these are our recommendations to the body, as opposed to coming back and saying, this is what we talked about, now let's spend the next 2 hours fleshing it out and making different decisions, so those different decisions go back to the stakeholder group. It makes it messy for us, just to be really frank. So I would just rather not complicate it with also public meetings criteria included. So
but I imagine that the content of these meetings is going to require a lot of feedback from people, and there's no way we're going to be able to formulate robust policy with great buy-in in 4 different meetings among the RSC. So I think it makes sense for Commissioner Udaly to continue to have a subcommittee that holds its own process so that it's not beholden to...
I'm saying we'll invite each of you individually instead of an official subcommittee of this group. So you will participate as individual representatives of your industry, and therefore we don't have to public notice it and create a public testimony on a situation because you're going to be doing the same thing, and so it's really just doing it twice.
Which gives more opportunity for people to give feedback, which gives more opportunity to form robust policy. I mean, it's up to Commissioner Udaly's office, but I'm sorry, I thought the intent was to shorten the timeline from 6 to 9 months to 4, not to eradicate.
I don't know where you got 6 to 9 months. That was never our intention. Our intention was to have everything done in 3 to 4 months from the beginning. Our timeline is significantly different than the RSC's, which is what I've been trying to
say. So it sounds like we'll be done in April, right?
Well, it's also something we can't. Hopefully, everything melts and everything comes together.
Yeah.
But there's also a certain point where just we need, as the leaders of the RSC, we need to draw a line and say, look, we do have our topics. We need to power forward. Hopefully, if there's any help, collaboration that we can do, great.
Yeah.
But we don't have to. We don't necessarily. We may not have the opportunity. I'm not saying we don't have to. We don't have the. If we don't have the opportunity, we don't have the opportunity. But it still needs to be discussed. And if Udaly's office wants to jump in and say, hey, let's be a part of it, great. If not, it's still a priority for us, and we still need to have the discussion. Does that make sense? We don't necessarily have to match our schedules. I mean, that would be a perfect, wonderful thing, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. We are a separate body from Udaly's office, and we have topics that we need to discuss and we need to move forward on. So hopefully everything comes together. I think it will.
The takeaway is either way, we'll...
We can't stress that too much right now.
We'll issue advice to the mayor, and whether that includes a leg in that door or not, we can decide.
Yeah.
This body isn't creating policy, right? You're just giving advice on policy that's being created. So we're
advice
creating
on policy.
But for right now, we know what we're talking about the next meeting.
Sounds like it.
Okay.
We're good.
To win.
Yeah, thank you all.
Thanks. Are you going to